Beloved Bhagwan, once, when he was still with his master, Kaiozan said to Isan, "Where does the real Buddha dwell?" Isan replied, "By means of the subtlety of thoughtless thought, contemplate the boundless spiritual brightness. Contemplate it until returning to the ground of being, the always abiding nature and its form of the undichotomous principle. This is the real Buddha." On hearing this, Kaiozan was enlightened. Later, when Kaiozan had become a master himself, Isan sent him a mirror as a gift. When he went to the hall where his monks were assembled, Kaiozan held up the mirror and said to the assembly, "Please say whether this is Isan's mirror or Kaiozan's mirror. If someone can give a correct reply, I will not smash it." No one answered, and Kaiozan smashed the mirror.
Manisa, a new series of talks begins today. These are not sermons in a church. These are communications a discourse a sermon remains within the limits of the mind. Only a communion can raise you beyond the mind, and that which is beyond the mind is Zen. A new series of communions is a great event. We will be looking into the very heart of Kaizen. Kaizen was a very simple man, not the philosophic kind, not a poet, not a sculptor. Nothing can be said about him except that he was absolutely authentic, honest. If he does not know a thing, he will say so, even at the risk of people thinking him that he has fallen from his enlightenment. But this makes him a unique master. Zen is full of unique masters. But Kaizen's uniqueness is his simplicity. He is just like a child. It took Isan, his master, 40 years of hard work to make Kaizen enlightened. He was determined and he has said he will not leave the body unless Kaizen becomes enlightened. He was old enough . Kaizen did everything that he said, but nothing penetrated to his very being. He was a very ordinary man. heaven and hell, God and the beyond, have never worried him. He was not a seeker in the sense every seeker is, seeker of truth. No, he was not seeking truth, because he is reported to have said that if you are seeking the truth, you have certainly accepted that truth exists, and I will not accept anything on belief. So I am just seeking, searching in all directions, trying to come in tune with the universe. It may be just my fallacy, my fantasy, but I want to go without any prejudice. Even the prejudice may prove right. But when a prejudice proves right, you will never know the truth. You will go on projecting your prejudice, and you can create a whole paraphernalia of prejudices, a system of beliefs, rational, logical, appealable, presentable. But if in the base belief is the stone that you are creating the whole palace, you are working unnecessarily hard. Nobody can come to know the truth by any preconceived idea. His preconceived idea will give a certain shape, a certain color to the experience. The experience will not be pure. It will be as polluted as Pune's air. But Isan has taken it, it seems, as a challenge, that if an ordinary man like Kayozan cannot be transformed into a Buddha, how can you allow others to trust in the existence of Buddha? All the religions have done just the contrary. Krishna is God's incarnation, so is Rama. So is Parasurama. They have made them sit on such a high pedestal that you can only worship, you can only pray. You cannot conceive yourself that you can also experience the same . These people on the heights are experiencing, and the creation of hierarchies makes it almost difficult for anyone to be unprejudiced. As the child is born, our intentions are good, but good intentions does not mean that they are going to lead you to the truth. With all good intentions, everybody is burdened with Srimad Bhagavad Gita. With the Holy Quran, with the Holy Bible. Continuously repeating anything slowly, slowly becomes a truth to you. And for centuries, these religions have been repeating. A son chose Kayozan to be his successor. It took 40 years of tremendous work on him, because he was a simple man, and in the first place he was not in search of truth. Just think of some man who is not in search of truth, and you go on knocking on his door every day. Look at the witnesses of Jehovah. Whether you want to listen to them or not, that is immaterial. You have to listen. You have to confess. And now Pope the Pollock has made it a sin. He is a discoverer of a new sin. All old sinners who are dead must be tossing and turning in their graves that they missed. He has declared that to confess to God directly is a sin. You should go through the right channel. You should go to the priest. confess to him, receive the punishment, and the priest will take care of you, that on the judgment day, when God will open all the graves, the priest will be a witness that this fellow is good. He has given $5 as punishment to you. But God is going to be in a difficulty, particularly in India, most of the population believes in fire and burns the dead body. When he will open the Hindu graves, he himself may freak out. Just skeletons and not even a passport. But I always think how you will look something similar to the photo that you are carrying on your passport. Just without the skin. And I cannot conceive that in one day the judgment is going to be over. Millions of years, trillions of people have lived on the earth. Some researcher has calculated that wherever you are sitting on 10 dead men's skeletons. Don't be afraid. They are very good people. And remember also that the judgment is not going only for men. Women will also be there. And women will be so much chattering. What is the new news? New arrivals. I don't think God will be able to manage. And perhaps that is the reason Jesus says the judgment day is coming soon in your life. It has not come even up to now. 2,000 years have passed. I can say to you the judgment will never come because it is not feasible. And there will be on judgment day a tremendous, bloodless fight amongst skeletons. Because one man has been a husband in his hundreds of lives to hundreds of women. One woman has been a wife to hundreds men in her past lives, and everybody will be pulling you. Somebody is pulling your leg, that where are you going? The whole world will be such a mess that I say unto you definitively that the idea of judgment has been postponed forever. Choosing Kaiozan as his successor and waiting for 40 years, what patience! Almost transforming a stone into a diamond, but Isan was determined to bring one point absolutely clear to humanity, that if Kaiozan is simple and ordinary person, not belonging to any speciality, any category, any talent, any genius, if he can become enlightened, it will be a proof to give this proof to humanity . He chose Kaiozan and worked hard on him. And the day Kaiozan became enlightened, transferred his enlightenment, and the two flames became one, Isan disappeared from the world of matter, body, mind, and Kaiozan was so radiant now . He was not only once enlightened, he was twice enlightened. His master has given him richer experiences, far deeper spaces, far more clear skies. A little biographical note. When Kaiozan was 15, he wanted to become a monk, but his parents would not allow it. 2 years after that, he cut off 2 fingers of his left hand and pleaded with his parents to to let him follow the spiritual path and finally they agreed. They had to agree. If he can cut two fingers, he can cut his whole hand. And the blame will be on them. Kaiyosan studied under several masters and then remained with Isan for 15 years before moving to Mount Kayo, where disciples came to be with him. In Zen, there is not much to the biography. What is important is that the man has become an eternal fame, that the man has achieved to his ultimate potential, that his blue lotus has blossomed. Who cares about dates of birth, about your parents? Those become negligible. That's why in the East there is nothing like Western history. The Western history is factual. It takes notes of all the facts from birth to death. Eastern history does not bother about your physical appearance, it takes care certainly of your spiritual growth. Those are your real progress points. For an experience, you should go to a Jaina temple. Don't take my name. And you will see in the temple 24 statues of the Zen, of the Jain masters, and you will be puzzled because they all look alike. There is no way to find out who is who. I am trying to make the point clear to you that it does not matter who is who, those statues don't represent the physical body. They represent the spiritual silence, the spiritual grace, the spiritual peace. If you sit there, you will be engulfed if you are not a jhana. Because the jhana goes with prejudice. You just go inquiring why these 24 statues are exactly the similar. The reason is the inner experience is the same, whether it happens to Adinath or to Mahavira or to Gautam Buddha, it does not matter. The inner flame and the fragrance and the silence will surround you. You just sit silently. Let it happen. Don't be in a worry. So we don't know many names. We don't know when they were born. We don't know when they became enlightened. But we know that a sudden explosion of light has happened in a man. We have carried only these people as our history. All that is concerned with the physical, we have deleted from the Eastern history. But we have remembered, and we continue to remember, and if you sit before the statue of Buddha, just before the entrance, just sitting silently, you will be surprised. For the first time you are feeling so relaxed, so peaceful, so unworried. The form of the statue creates a certain space and a certain energy. This was discovered in the early days of this century. When there was great excitement about the Egyptian pyramids, they are graves of great kings and queens. They are completely sealed. When one pyramid was opened, the first pyramid, there were a strange peace inside. strange fragrance inside. And the most puzzling thing that came to light was a cat that must have died hundreds of years before. But there was no rottenness of the body. It was as if she has died just now. They could not believe because the stupa was 3,000 years old. And it has never been opened. When they were closing the last doors, somehow the cat must have got in and remained in. And of course has to die. There was no way out. She must have died 3,000 years before. But the problem is, there is no deterioration. And scientists became interested that perhaps the form of the pyramid creates a certain space in which nothing can die. The death came because no food, no water, but the pyramid kept the cat as alive as any cat can be. Now there are in the world market on sale small pyramids. You just sit under the pyramid 1 hour and you will see something changes. You are no more in a hurry. You don't have any tension. The stupa has done something but it is still a mystery. The Buddhist also have made stupas in India, Bodh Gaya, where Buddha became enlightened, in Sanchi, where many Buddhas became enlightened. But nobody seems to be interested except their architecture. Architecture is not the way to find the mystery. Why these stupas made in a certain way? In India, in Tibet, in China, in Japan, in Ceylon, wherever Buddhism went, these stupas, these memorials were raised. to give an indication that nobody dies. Only the body and the mind are left behind, and you open your wings of consciousness. And for the first time, when all fetters are broken, the whole blue sky is your empire. Kaiozan studied with many masters, but either they were not masters, and certainly he was not ready to be a disciple. The moment he saw his son, suddenly a new breeze, a new fragrance passed through him. They have met on a small footpath on the mountain. He could not resist. This man smells as if sandalwood and has such a light around him and such an at-easiness. He turned and asked his son, "Can you accept me as a disciple?" His son looked at him. He said, "I have never rejected anyone. That is humiliation. Although I am aware, looking at you, that it is going to be a long task. But if you are ready to go on a long pilgrimage with me, perhaps that which can happen now may happen." Isan had 1,000 disciple monks, and they were all puzzled that having such a great scholarly assembly, why he has chosen a farmer uneducated, have not even heard the names of the Buddha Sutras, why he has become so interested in him. And they were great scholars, fine was their discipline, and they have been with him for years, and this is a newcomer, a villager. Isan said to his other disciples, "Today he is not ready. He is just a seed, but tomorrow you will know why I have chosen him. I am trying to serve two purposes in a single event. If this man can become a Buddha, then the doors are open for all men. And he made it a promise that he will not leave his body until Kayozan can satisfy the whole assembly of disciples that the master has not been wrong. The sutra, beloved Bhagwan, once when he was still with his master, Kayozan said to Isan, "Where does the real Buddha dwell?" Isan replied, "By means of the subtlety of thoughtless thought, contemplate the boundless spiritual brightness. Contemplate it until returning to the ground of being. Life always abiding nature and its form of the undichotomous principle. This is the real Buddha." On hearing this, Kayozan was enlightened. It is a very strange incident. The Western education all over has made us very limited and one-dimensional. So if you read this, you will simply laugh. You can understand each word and its implications, but that is not the real thing that is happening between Isan and Kayozan. Once when he was still with his master, Kayozan said to Isan, "Where does the real Buddha dwell?" Isan replied, "By means of the subtlety of thoughtless thought. When the mind is thoughtless and just empty, that is the temple of the Buddha. Contemplate the boundless spiritual brightness. Contemplate until returning to the ground of being. The always abiding nature and its form of the undichotomous principle. This is the real Buddha. Always move into the unity with the cosmos. Dichotomy is division. Undichotomy is no division. No division of any kind. Contemplate on it. And this very contemplation you will not find the Buddha, you will find you are the Buddha. There will not be two, because that will create dichotomy. There will not be you standing looking at Buddha. You will merge in silence, disappear in the oceanic experience of consciousness. The eternal serenity of existence. There is no knower and nothing is known, but everything is. This isness is Buddha. On hearing this, Kyozan was enlightened. This makes difficulty to the modern mind. How one can become enlightened by just listening few lines? You can go on reading these lines again and again. You will not become enlightened. You will simply become crazy. Underneath, something else is happening. While the master is speaking, the disciple is not only listening because he has ears. The disciple is listening with his total being, every fiber of the being. Not only the ears, he is also listening with the eyes, looking at the master. He is also feeling the master, his wife. It is a total phenomenon. He has forgotten himself and disappeared in the tremendous statement. The moment you forget yourself, and only a silent consciousness remains, you have come home. Enlightenment is not something special. It is hidden in you your hidden splendor. Just you are so much occupied with the outside world, that you can forget anything, and particularly those things which are very obvious. In the First World War, rationing was introduced, and everybody has to appear before the rationing officer to get a rationing card. Thomas Alva Edison, a world famous figure, all your facilities and comforts, most of them are because of Edison. He discovered 1,000 things. He was also standing in the queue, and as the queue was coming closer to him, people were leaving, taking their card, and finally the clerk shouted, "Now it is time for Thomas Alva Edison." Edison looked here and there. He could not see anybody. Of course, a long queue was behind him. Somebody from the behind said that, "As far as I know, the man who is standing in front of you is Thomas Alva Edison." Thomas Alva Edison said, "Perhaps I may be." Because for 50 years nobody has used my name in front of me, he was so famous. In the university he was called the professor. Nobody used his name. And he was so engrossed and engaged in his experiments, he had no time of meeting people, of talking to people. He was a man who was absolutely alone in the crowd. He has forgotten his own name. 50 years is a long time. If nobody uses your name, you will also forget, or you may think, "Perhaps I have heard this name somewhere far away, far back, as an echo, but I cannot guarantee. I have to find witnesses." Now, if your name is not used by others, out of respect and love, you are not going to use it yourself. naturally for 50 years not used, and it is an arbitrary device addition forgot his name. And you have forgotten your innermost being. His loss was not much of a loss, just a label. Your loss is far deeper and greater. Centuries you have lived, but you don't know who you are. The explosion of enlightenment is suddenly you become aware of your eternal being. Later, when Kaozan had become a master himself, Isan sent him a mirror as a gift. When he went to the hall where his monks were assembled, Kaozan held up the mirror and said to the assembly, "Please say whether this is Isan's mirror or Kaozan's mirror." If someone can give a correct reply, I will not smash it. This is how in Zen, very subtle and intricate matters became immensely important. To the outsider, it will look a stupid question, in the first place, you should remember that sending a mirror as a gift, he was opening a new monastery. He will be the master. Sending the mirror to him is to remind him that don't forget. This mirror will remind you that whatever the mirror reminds you is not you. But whoever witnesses the reflection in the mirror, that is your Buddhahood. Kaozan rose to his heights. He said to the assembly of the monks, "Please say whether this is Isan's mirror or Kaozan's mirror." If someone can give a correct reply, I will not smash it. No one answered, and Kaozan smash the mirror. To answer the question, a man of enlightenment was needed. Spontaneously, he would have responded, thousands of ways are open, but remaining silent, dumb, simply shows your ignorance, your unawareness. And Kaozan's smashing the mirror is just to make it a beginning of what is going to happen in his monastery. If anyone who was enlightened could have done anything, he could have come and slapped Kaozan and took the mirror from him and said to the assembly, "The mirror is mine. There is no need to smash it." Or anything. Mirror is nobody's. And to use a gift of the master on the first day of the opening of ceremony, this is not nice, to smash the mirror. Somebody was needed to smash the face of Kaozan, and he would have saved the mirror, but nobody was enlightened enough. You will come across many incidents and when you hear them, just think if you were there, just close your eyes and feel the energy that had gathered in Kaozan's monastery. What would you have done? It reminds me a great Zen master had two wings of his monastery and he has a beautiful cat. And everybody loved that cat. And everybody claimed that the... Of course, the master cannot possess anything. So it belongs to the right wing. Or it belongs to the left wing. Things became so hot, that one day the master has to call the whole assembly of both the wings and said, keeping the cat and his sword, that do you see this cat and this sword? If anybody can answer, this is a question, this cat and this sword, if anybody can answer, the cat will belong to him. If nobody answers, then the only possible way for me to settle this hotness and struggle, to cut the cat in two pieces and divide it to the right wing and to the left wing. A great thrill went through people, but what is the right answer? Seeing their silence, the master cut the cat bleeding. He gave the cat to both the parties. At that very time, Li Tazu, who was going to be his successor, had gone to the marketplace for some work, entered in, and slapped the master and said to him, you old idiot, you unnecessarily killed a beautiful cat. The master laughed and said, Li Tazu, if you had been here, the poor cat will still be alive. Zen has a language of its own. Most particularly, it needs courage, spontaneity, clarity, and then out of that clarity, whatever you do is right. Issa wrote, plum blossoms, my spring is an ecstasy. Just visualize plum blossoms, my spring is an ecstasy. If you start looking silently at things, the roses will become your ecstasy. The mountains will become your ecstasy. The naked tree without any leaves will become your ecstasy. the ecstasy is an utter silence, watching, witnessing the tremendous beauty that surrounds you. This beauty is alcoholic. Experiencing this beauty around you you forget about small things. Your life becomes a golden life. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, is our original face that of the witness? Is it what we live as amnesics, forgetting that we have only arbitrarily adopted a body and mind, and that enlightenment is simply regaining our memory? Yes, Manisha, you have condensed in your question the whole answer. But she goes on writing, P.S. Why do you call me poor Manisha? Nivedano. Stone head Niskriya. Give a good hit to poor Manisha. I call you poor Manisha because there is a poverty of the outer world, and there is a poverty of inner world. I am against the poverty of the outer world, but I am not against the poverty of the inner world. The poverty of the inner world means no ego, no pride, no arrogancy, pure humbleness, as if you are not. And what begins as if, soon you find it is so. There is no need to call it as if. Whenever I call you Manisha, poor Manisha, that is to wake in you a silence, a peace, a blossom, a spring. Because of this fact, Buddha used to call his sannyasins, against the whole tradition of India, Bhikshu. the beggar. But he is beggar on the outside, the more beggarly he becomes on the outside, the more richer becomes his inner being. The poverty of a humble man, the poverty of an innocent man, the poverty of a silent, meditative man is not a poverty. Through this poverty, you are attaining the whole world. The whole blue sky becomes smaller than you. Now it is time for Sardar Gurdayal Singh . It is that fateful day on Calvary Hill. Jesus has been hanging from his cross 4 hours and he is getting weaker and weaker. Suddenly he sees Mosaiki, his police disciple, among the faces in the crowd below, Mosaiki, gasps Jesus to the Pollock, "Mosaiki, come here. I have a message for you and your people." Mosaiki simmies up the cross, bringing his ear next to Jesus and says, "Yes, Lord, what is the message for us Pollocks? The times are dangerous for my police disciples," whispers Jesus. "So until I come back, just play dumb." Little Arni walks into his parents' bedroom and sees his father putting on a condom. "Hey, Dad," says little Arni, "what are you doing?" "Ahir, I'm going out to hunt rabbits," stammers his embarrassed father. "Really?" says Arni. "What are you going to do when you reach them, Dad?" "Fuck them." Little Arni and little Sally are discussing what big boys and girls do together when they are alone at night. "What do you think they do?" asks Sally. "I am not sure," replies Arni, "but I know a way of finding out. tonight when my sister Suzy takes her boyfriend Herbert into the sitting room, I will hide behind the curtains and watch them. Great idea, says little Sally. Then you can tell me all about it tomorrow. The next morning, the two little kids meet Sally, cries little Ernie excitedly, "You won't believe what happened last night. I was playing behind the sofa when my sister Suzy and her boyfriend Herbert came home. They sat on the sofa and I did not know I was there. They talked for a while, then Herbert turned off most of the lights. Suzy must have been cold because he put his arms around her back and blew hot breath on her neck. I guessed she must have been feeling sick because her face looked funny. He must have thought so too, because he put his hand inside her blouse to feel her heart, just like the doctor, except he's not as smart as the doctor, because he seemed to have trouble finding it. I guess he was feeling sick too, because pretty soon both of them started panting and getting all out of breath. His other hand must have been pretty cold because he put it under her skirt. About this time, Suzy got worse and began to moan and groan and started squirming around and slide down to the end of the sofa. This is when the fever started. I know it was a fever because Suzy told Herbert she was getting really hot. Finally, I found out that was making them sick. A big snake jumped out of Herbert's pants and stood there. It was about 10 inches long. It was incredible. Suzy got really scared. Her eyes got big and her mouth fell open, and she started saying, "My God," and stuff like that. She said it was the biggest one she had ever seen. Anyway, Suzy got braver and tried to kill it by biting its head tip. I guess it bit her back because suddenly she made a noise and let go. Then she grabbed it with both hands and held it tight while Herbert looked a plastic puzzle. from his pocket and put it over the snake's head and to keep it from biting again. Then Susie and Herbert laid back on the sofa and tried to squeeze the snake between them. But the snake put up a hell of a fight. They both started groaning and squealing and almost turned over the sofa. And after a long struggle, they finally stopped and gave a big sigh. When Herbert got up, I could tell that the snake was dead. It was all limp and just hanging there. You know, Sally, I think there are the bravest people I know. Why is that? Asks Sally. Because, replies Ernie, as Herbert was leaving, he and Sally decided to do the same thing again next week. Nivedana. Be silent. Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. Now look inwards with your total consciousness, with an urgency as if this is the last moment, and pierce into the very center of your being. Your center is also the center of the universe. We are all connected on the center, on the circumference we have different personalities. deeper and deeper . This is your very life source. Go deep into it. It will refresh you, rejuvenate you. It will bring freedom to you from all the nonsense that societies have poured into your mind. This moment you are the Buddha. Just witnessing doing nothing . The same mirror that Isan has sent to Kyozan as a gift. The mirror only witnesses. To make it clear, Nivedana, relax and witness the body is separate from you. The mind is separate from you. Your only identity is witnessing. The Sanskrit word for witnessing is Buddha. You are those few blessed people on the earth today. Who are entering on the ancient golden path which leads you to eternity, immortality. Slowly, slowly you start melting. And Gautam, the Buddha auditorium, becomes a pure lake of consciousness. One Buddha, you all share. Do you see the change of your inner climate? Has not the spring come? Are not flowers of joy hovering over you? Is not this moment, the most precious, because you are at home. To be a Buddha simply means to be at home. Soon Nivedana will be calling you awake. Before he gives his beat, collect as much of the experience as possible. Bring all those flowers to your circumference. The ultimate in the search of truth is to bring the hidden Buddha into your day-to-day. Actions, gestures, words, silences. Nivedana, come back, but remember you are coming with the grace of Buddha. With the silence and the joy of the Buddha, sit down for a few moments just to recollect, to remember where you have been. The golden path that you have gone on and you have returned back on the same path. One has to go on repeating, going in, coming out, going in, coming out, and slowly, slowly the going becomes so deep that you need not come. You can remain a Buddha in the world. I am against all renunciation. My philosophy is to live in this beautiful world with grace and love and blissfulness. It is a great opportunity to blossom. Don't miss it. Okay, Manish.
Yes, Papa. Thank you.